Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and just thank you for this beautiful day for which you have created. We thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to gather together in your house freely, without persecution. Lord, we pray that you help us prepare our hearts before this communion table that we're about to partake in, and remember the gift that Jesus Christ gave us at Calvary, salvation and eternal life. We just pray that you be with Brother Matt Renzi as he brings forth your word. And we pray, Lord, these things in your precious Son's name and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. On that note, so that Brother Renzi doesn't have to take care of this later, the way we do it here at Grace Street Baptist Church is anyone who has trusted the Lord as their Savior is welcome to partake of the Lord's table with us. So if you're visiting here today and you are saved, we welcome you to join us, okay? All right, let's take our books again and turn to number 139. 139.
If you have a Bible this morning, would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11? I would like to read the text in which Paul the Apostle spoke about the Lord's table, the communion as we call it. The reading of this text is a reminder of why we do what we do when we come to the Lord's table. In fact, there's a couple references repeated over and over again in this text, and it says, "This do in remembrance of me." And the whole reason that we have the Lord's table is to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. In particular, we are remembering his death. We don't have any physical pictures of Jesus Christ. We don't know what he looks like. This is the picture that the Lord gave us of his Son. The bread representing his body, the juice representing his blood. And so I begin reading in 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let me just take a moment to say that when Jesus gave that bread to those disciples and said, This is my body, we understand that that was not his literal body. That was a symbol of his body. Verse number 25, the Bible says, After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27, Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I personally think to partake of the Lord's table in an unworthy state is to know that there's sin in my life between me and the Lord that I'm not dealing with, that I can deal with. And with that in mind, verse number 28 tells us what to do. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. If there's anything in your life as a believer that needs to be confessed, that needs to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I have the privilege and the opportunity, even before we hand out the elements or as we hand out the elements, Brother Jason will be playing on the instrument. It's a good time to bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord. And Lord, is there anything in my heart and in my life that I need to confess and just make sure that everything's good? Verse number 29 says, For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse number 30, for the cause of partaking of the Lord's table, not getting things right that you know you should. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, and by the way, that's the same thought of verse 28, examining yourselves, is to judge yourself. You know, God said if we judge ourselves, he'll not judge us. It says in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. At this time, our brothers here are going to hand out the matzah. Please hold on to it until they come back, and then we'll have a word of prayer and we'll partake together. I don't usually do this every week. They usually pray before they hand it out. I pray before we partake. But anyway, let's pray together. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity you've given us, Lord, to come to this place on this day, to have this picture. This is the picture you gave to us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically to remember his death for us. As the gentlemen hand out the matzah, may we all think about the thought that this represents the body of our Savior. Holes broken, not a bone broken, but flesh broken, no doubt about it. Gone through the fire, judgment for us. I do pray that you'll bless the memory that we have of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do not partake until they do come back, and I'll read a portion of Scripture and we'll partake together. Again, I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may partake. Heaven, as we get ready to hand out the juice, this element that is a reminder to us of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that precious blood that saved our souls, those of us that are saved. And it's that precious blood that on a daily basis washes us and cleanses us and makes us clean in our Christian life. We thank you for this. We pray you'll bless the memory to our hearts as we think of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue reading what Paul the Apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as I pick up in verse number 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You may part.
Following communion service, but it's a little hot up here, so I'm okay, but Brother Renzi would like to preach from down there, and that's good. Okay, some announcements this morning. First, I announced this in Sunday school, but I'm going to read it again because a few people weren't here. As you know, we've been praying for Janet a lot. She's really struggling with a lot of physical needs and other issues. And we sent her a card recently, and she wrote a little note back. It's dated June 27th. Dear fellow Christians at Ray Street Baptist Church, thank you dearly, and she underlined that word, for the beautiful card of encouragement. Words cannot express my gratitude, and she signs her name Janet. And then at the bottom here, her son Mark also says, thank you very much, exclamation mark. And so we'll put this card up on the bulletin board, but they wanted us to express express the gratitude to you all for the help and encouragement that we've been to her during her difficult time. So thank the Lord that we can do that. It's part of our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ. Next thing is Wednesday, July 4th, obviously, it's a holiday celebrating the birth of our country. So we will not be having our normal Wednesday evening service that night, okay? So if you come by here, you won't find anyone else here. So trust you'll take the time to spend time with family, friends, and remember all the sacrifice that men and women have given so that we could have the freedom that we enjoy here in this country. This is something that I should have mentioned periodically and have forgotten to do so. On the side bulletin board here, there are letters from the various missionaries that we support, whether it be through financial or by prayer. And periodically there are new letters that get posted. So if, please take the time to go by and look at those letters and keep up to date on what's going on and what the Lord is doing in the lives of these folks, okay? Also, every time we have communion, we have a deacon fund offering, okay? So we try to be of help and encouragement to those who might have a financial need within the church here. And if you would like to contribute to that, take one of the envelopes there at the table. Put your gift in it and mark on the envelope for Deacon's Fund offering, okay? The same thing is true of Pastor Reddy, our missionary, and we actually had to give him some extra money because of a medical need that he had, and it was we had to do it quickly. So the committee voted to allow that, and if you would like to contribute to help with that need, he had a medical test that he needed money to take care of, okay? So anyway, take one of those envelopes, mark it for Pastor Reddy, and put it in the regular offering box, and that will be a blessing to him. Don't forget, as we do for all of our guest speakers, the blue box back there is for a special love offering for Brother Renzi. Thank you, brother, for coming. Glad to have you here. We miss you when you're not here, okay? Real blessing to us. So please be encouragement to him as he is to us. And I believe that is it that I know of right now for our announcements. For our third song, let's take our hymn books and turn to number 161. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this one? 161. Must Jesus bear the cross?
I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Then we went back to the house where we used to live. My little boy, he ran and hid behind the door. Be afraid, because you've got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the dad that I used to be.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thanks to Calvary. Amen. Amen. Thanks to salvation. Well, it's good to be here this morning. If you have a Bible, would you please turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. That seat right there is the perfect seat for that air conditioner. You could just feel that cool air coming down. Amen. But it feels pretty good in here right now. How's it feel? Good? Good. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, 2 Peter chapter number 3. This morning I want to share a message concerning spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. We all need spiritual growth. Amen. Even if you have grown in great measure from what you were before, there's always room for growth. Nobody in this life can say, as a Christian, I'm everything I should be. There's no room for improvement. Amen. Every one of us should be like Paul the Apostle and realize, and as he said in Philippians chapter 3, I'm not there yet. Amen. I've not attained. I've not arrived. But I keep pressing forward. Amen. And moving forward, following Christ, if you will. And so I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual growth. Amen. There's three things that I want us to note this morning in the morning message here about spiritual growth. And the first thing we're going to look at is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look in verse number 18. 2 Did I say 2 Timothy?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Don't listen to me. 2 Peter chapter number 3, amen. That's the problem when you got so many scriptures written out, you know. But anyway, 2 Peter chapter number 3, we're going to look at verse number 18. We're going to talk about growth. And I want us to note, if you will, the first thing I want us to note about growth that we find in this verse right here is the fact that there's a mandate when it comes to growth. You and I, as saved people, and by the way, this message this morning primarily is for those that are already saved, those of us that are already born again, amen, born from above, those of us who accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, those of us that are children of the Lord, amen. This message is primarily for us, and so if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you're not saved, you're not born again, our hope and our prayer for you is before you leave, that today would be the day of your salvation. Amen. In fact, I think today is a good day to get saved. Amen. You say, why is that? Because right now, if you're still alive, it's the only day you have right now. Amen. And today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter number 6 and verse number 2 says that. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Amen. And so the mandate concerning growth. God has mandated you and I that are saved. We need to grow. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says this, but grow. Grow in grace, and then it says, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You and I that are saved, we need to be growing in grace, and we need to be growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when you first get saved, pretty much the only thing you know is, I'm saved, amen. God sent his son Jesus. Jesus loved me, gave his life for me, died on the cross for me. And I believe it and I trust it and I'm saved. Amen. That's what happens. We become babies in Christ. Amen. Newborn, if you will. But by the way, we shouldn't stay that way. In fact, there's a great message in the book of, I think it's 1 John in chapter number 2, where John speaks to three different groups of people in the church. He says, I speak unto you fathers because you've known him and so on. I speak unto you children because you know him. I speak unto you young men because you're strong. And so there's three different levels of groups in the church that John the apostle speaks to. And when he speaks to the children, he basically says, listen, you know him, and here's one thing you know, that your sins are forgiven. And by the way, that's about all you know when you first get saved. You know that your sins are forgiven, you're washed in the blood, amen? But we can't stay children forever, can we? Amen. And so we need to grow in grace. We need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got to grow from knowing him simply as our Savior who died on the cross to forgive our sins. And we got to get to know him a lot better on a daily basis. Amen. And I'm so glad we can get to know him more and more. Amen. In fact, I don't know if there's a song already for today at the close of our service, but keep this in mind if you don't mind. And that would be More About Jesus. If you would, please, because that might be a great hymn, if you will. You and I need to grow in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way that we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is to get into this book right here. Amen. This book right here speaks of the Lord. In fact, the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more time I believe the Lord has to reveal himself to you and I more and more. Amen. In fact, if you think about the woman at the well, you remember that situation in John chapter 4 where the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. The Jewish people at that time did not go through Samaria because the Samaritans were half-breeds. And so the Jews would go the extra mile out of the way so as not to come in contact with those people. But Jesus said, no, I must needs go through Samaria. And by the way, somebody's got to go through Samaria. Somebody's got to go through that type of people, if you will. Amen. And so Jesus goes and he sits at that well, weary, if you will, from his journey. And you remember that woman came, I believe it was in the afternoon, because if I'm not mistaken, the other women would come in the morning when it's a little cooler. But she obviously, with her reputation, wasn't among the other women. And so she came in the afternoon. And thank God Jesus met her in the afternoon at an inconvenient time for him. Amen.
And you remember as he began to speak to that woman, he said, "Get me some water." And she said, "Hold on a minute." And she began to speak with the Lord. She said, "First of all, I know that," by the way, this is my interpretation my way of saying it. She'd say, "Well, hold on a minute. You're a Jew. We have no dealings." And so one of the first things she knew about Jesus was he's a Jew. And then he begins to speak with her a little bit longer. And before you know it, the conversation goes on. And then all of a sudden, he's telling her about her several husbands and the man she's shacking up with now. And then before you know it, she's like, "Well, hold on a minute. You're not just a Jew. You're a prophet." And then she begins to speak with him a little bit more. And she talks about the Messiah. And all of a sudden, he says to her, "He that speaketh to you, I am he." Then all of a sudden she finds out he's the Messiah. This woman spends so much time with the Lord, if you will, conversing with him. She found out he's a Jew, he's a prophet, he's the Messiah. And then all of a sudden he's my Savior. And she goes back and she tells all the men and she tells that city, "We found the Messiah, the Savior of the world." Amen. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more he'll reveal to you and I who he is in this precious book right here. Amen. We got to get to know the Lord Jesus a lot better. In fact, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest unto your souls." You and I that are saved, we can link up with the Lord Jesus and get close to him, and we can learn of him, even from him. And we get to know who he really is and how he really is. And when we get to know that, our hearts will find that rest in him. Amen. You and I need to grow. We need to grow in grace. We need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Paul's desire in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, after he got saved. And by the way, Paul the Apostle in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, he began to speak to the Judaistic people who thought that all their Judaism and all their Jewish credentials were going to save them. Paul the Apostle said, "Look, if you think you can get saved by your Jewish credentials, I could boast the more and I could have the most confidence in the flesh." He began to talk about he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was circumcised. And he was a Benjamite. And he said this, "All that I thought was gaining me something with God, I had to count as dung. I had to count as nothing that I may win Christ and that I may know him." Amen. Paul the Apostle, after he got saved in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, his heart's desire was this, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Amen. You and I need to grow in grace. We need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My focus this morning on this growth thought, I want to talk about primarily this. We need to grow in grace. We need to grow in grace. Saving grace is where we all start. If you're saved in here, you're saved because of the grace of God. If you're not saved in here, you can be saved only because of the grace of God. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Those verses to me are the most plain and the most simple that say this: you cannot save yourself by any good deeds. All our righteousness, I think it was Isaiah who said, are as filthy rags before God. Amen. You and I are saved by the grace of God. And in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it explains grace. It is the gift of God. Amen. That's what grace is when it comes to salvation. It's a gift. And by the way, gifts we give to those we love. Gifts we give. And by the way, we don't charge anybody for gifts. If you're in here and you charge people for gifts, there's something wrong, amen? And by the way, don't believe the advertisements on TV or in books you read. Free gifts, free gifts, free gifts. Just got to buy this. Can I get a witness on that? That's not a free gift. You're buying something for more than you need to be paying for it. Sure, they're going to throw in a little trinket for free. Amen? It's not for free, folks. But when it comes to salvation, salvation is a free gift by the grace of God. Amen? By the way, the saving grace is where we all start. But listen, we should not stop at saving grace. I don't doubt that there's a lot of people today who get saved by the wonderful grace of God, but never grow from that point. Listen, there's more grace than saving grace. Amen? In fact, and I won't do it for the sake of time, but I wrote down some scriptures. James 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, He giveth more grace. Amen? There's more grace that God has than saving grace. Saving grace is a gift of God that God gives to sinners that believe and trust in Him. But God's got a whole lot more grace to give you and I as His children. Amen? In fact, in John 1:14, the Bible says Jesus was full of grace, full of truth. In John 1:16, it says, of His grace have all we received, or of His fullness have all we received. And get this, and grace for grace. And what that means is this, Jesus Christ is full of grace, and you and I can get all kinds of grace from Him. Grace on top of grace, amen? In fact, in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 10, the Bible uses the term the manifold grace of God, the multicolored grace of God. God's grace don't only have a saving aspect of it, it's got many other aspects of it, amen? In fact, I want to take just a few moments this morning to talk to you a little bit about some grace that has nothing to do with saving grace, but it's for those who already experience saving grace. What other kind of grace is there? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Let me show you what we have here. I want you to turn, if you would please, to the book of Titus, chapter number 2. Turn to the book of Titus, chapter number 2, please. If you've been saved by the grace of God, amen. God's grace is not done with you, and God's grace is not done with me. There's a grace that God has for you and I that are His children, amen? And we need to get in on that grace. We need that grace, if you will. In Titus chapter number 2, would you look with me, please, beginning in verse number 11. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, the Bible says this. Well, 2:11, chapter number 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And by the way, I thank God that God's grace, saving grace, is available for all men. Amen. Verse number 12 begins to say this, that this saving grace has something to teach us. Verse number 12, teaching us that what? Denying ungodliness, denying worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, this is not saving grace in respects to the fact that you and I already have saving grace. This is what I call sanctifying grace. There's a sanctifying grace that God has for you and I. You say, what is that? And I know it's connected with the saving grace, no doubt about it. There's a grace that God has for you and I that would help us, according to verse number 12, to deny ungodliness. We are trying to live godly. By the way, I say that in hopes that we as Christians are trying to live godly lives in an ungodly world. Can I get an amen on that one? By the way, I didn't say we were perfectly godly people in an ungodly world. In fact, we are striving to live godly in an ungodly world. Amen. If you're trying to live for the Lord, you're striving to live for the Lord. Amen. But there's a grace that God has. There's a if I could put it this way, there's a help that God has for you and I that are already saved, whereby He can help us on a daily basis to live a godly life in an ungodly world, to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's a grace that God has for us. You and I, the Bible says in Romans 6:14 that we are no longer slaves to sin because we're not under the law, but we're under what? Grace. The grace of God has not made us sinless. By no means, not yet. Amen? Not yet. But the grace of God has allowed us to sin less. Amen. If you don't sin less now since you've been saved compared to the fact that you, when you weren't saved, then there's something wrong. Amen. The grace of God helps us and sanctifies us and changes us more and more. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12, that he and the other apostles had their lifestyle or their conversation in the world by the grace of God. Amen? There's a grace that God has that can help you and I to live for him on a daily basis here and now. You say, hold on a minute. I have the saving grace. I know. But where is the sanctifying grace? Where's the grace that God can give me to help me to live for him on a daily basis as I go through my Christian life? I'll tell you where it is. It's with God. That's why it's called the grace of God. Where's it at? Let me show you where it's at. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter number 4, please? Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter number 4. There's a grace that you and I as God's children, there's a grace that you and I as saved people need to get from the Lord himself. Especially when we need it the most. Amen. In Hebrews chapter number 4, I want you to look with me, please. And by the way, I mentioned in Sunday school earlier that the Hebrew believers were believers who they got saved and they got on fire and they were living for God. But then they began to go through persecution and they began to go through temptation to throw in the towel and to quit and to go back to the old system and the old way. And Paul, my personal opinion is Paul the Apostle wrote the book of Hebrews. And Paul writes this book to encourage these believers. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Keep on living for the Lord. Amen. Don't throw in the towel because of the way things are and the pressure and the persecution and so on. And in the book of Hebrews, as Paul is telling these believers to hang in there and keep on keeping on, God's not pleased with those that turn back and draw back. Please keep on going. What he does over again a couple times, he says, look, there's a way that you can get through these struggles and these trials and these tribulations. There's a way you can keep on keeping on. And that way is Jesus Christ. The fact that he is presently, right now, the mediator. The one who ever lives, according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25, he ever lives to make intercession for us. See, Jesus Christ is a Savior who's alive right now, who you and I as God's people have a personal contact with. Amen? Hey, getting saved is one thing, but living saved is another. And you and I cannot live saved apart from his daily help. Amen. These believers were encouraged. You have a high priest. You have a mediator. You have a Savior who's alive and who right now can help you and can get you through and so on. In fact, in chapter number 2 of Hebrews, before we even look at chapter 4, look at chapter 2 for a moment and look at verse number 18. Again, he's writing to these believers that are struggling and tempted to quit and throw in the towel and go back. And he's telling them, you can hang in there. God can help you. Jesus is alive for you. Amen. Look at verse number 13 of Hebrews chapter 2. For in that he, referring to Jesus, has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, to aid, to help, or to deliver them that are what? Tempted. How can I live godly in an ungodly world? I need a Savior who's alive, who I can call upon in the moment of my temptation, in the moment of my struggle, and plead for his help. Just like Peter, when Peter and the disciples were in the boat and the Lord Jesus was walking toward them on the water, you remember what happened? They got afraid. They thought it was a spirit. And Jesus said, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. A good thought for Peter. If it's not him, don't go. If it be thou, bid me come. And he said, come on out. And by the way, Peter walked on water. And as he walked on the water, focusing on the Lord, everything was fine. He got his eyes off the Lord and on the circumstances, the waves and the winds. He began to sink. And here's what the scripture says. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached forth his hand and saved him. There's an illustration for you and I in our Christian life. As we go through this wild world, as we go through this ocean, if you will, as we try to walk on water, if you will, trying to stay above the world, if you will. And by the way, churches are like boats in this world, amen. As long as the water's out, we can float. Once the water of the world gets into the church, it sinks, amen. It loses its effectiveness. But the fact of the matter, you and I as Christians are trying to do what he wants us to do, which we can't do without him, because without him we can do nothing. As we try to live for him and do what we ought to do, we all come into trials and temptations, but we all have a Savior ready, able, and willing at a moment's notice to say, to reach out and help us. Lord, deliver me from this. Lord, help me over here. Daily. Daily. Amen. Look at chapter number 4, Hebrews chapter number 4. I'm saying this, you and I that already have the saving grace of God, that had to do it forgiving us. That had to do it forgiving us. I need something that has to do it changing us. There's a grace that God has that can help us and change us. And that grace is with himself. Amen. We got to go to him for it. We got to go to him to get it. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse number 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Remember who he's talking to, these Hebrew brethren, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Now what he's saying, let us hold fast our profession, is this. Let us keep on living for the Lord. That's what he's saying. Hey, we have a high priest. We have a high priest. Let us hang on. Let us hold on. Let us live for him. Verse number 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I love that. What does that mean? We got a high priest who knows what we're going through. You say, how does he know what we're going through? He was tempted in all points like as we are. He was tempted with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If you don't believe me, read Matthew 4. He went through the things we go through. He knows, he feels, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Now look at verse 16. Here's the key. Let us therefore, in light of this compassionate Savior and this high priest who knows what we're going through, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find what? Grace for what? To help in a time of need. Many believe that to mean this in very simplicity, in a nick of time sometimes. You see, there's a grace. He gave us the saving grace. We have the saving grace. We're already forgiven. I need grace to get me through this crazy world. How do I get it? I get it often. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Amen. Stay in contact, constant contact with the Lord. Somebody put it this way. Get a hold of the Lord in the morning. In your time of prayer, then shoulder that call the rest of the day. And by the way, you say that nowadays, some of these young people looking at you like, shoulder, what do you mean by shoulder the call? They don't know what real phones look like. Can I get a witness? Some of us recall those phones that used to have cords on them. In fact, some of you young ladies remember the ones that were real long. They would go around the cellarway and you could be able to shut the door and talk to your boyfriend. You remember that? I mean, they were long cords. Amen. They don't know that, but the fact is, have your time with the Lord in the morning, if that's what you do. And then shoulder that call, stay in contact with the Lord. By the way, I try to do that. We try to get focused on the Lord, have your time of getting focused on the Lord, and then all of a sudden you got to tread out in this world. And oh my, how the devil tries to get our focus distorted, doesn't he? I mean, get us distracted with it. And sometimes not only bad things that can distract you, good things can distract you. Hey, what happened to Martha? You remember Martha and Mary? And yeah, come on in, Jesus. Martha's going to make dinner. And what does Martha do? She gets so busy serving the Lord, she gets mad at Mary for taking time to sit at his feet and hear his word. Oh, don't you care that I'm doing this alone? And Martha, Martha. Why her name twice? Got to get her attention. So busy. Thou art careful about many things. In fact, too many things. One thing's needful. Mary chose that. I'm not taking it away from her. Amen. We need to stay in contact with the Lord all day long. Amen. There's a grace he has for us. It's a sanctifying grace. It's a grace that changes us and helps us, no doubt about it. But we need to grow. We go from saving grace. We get into sanctifying grace. And then there's another grace. There's a serving grace. There's a grace not only that forgives us, as we talked about saving grace and sanctifying grace that changes us. There's a grace that uses us. Thank God for that. Amen. Hebrews 12:25, the Bible says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It takes the grace of God to be used by God. Amen. In fact, Paul the Apostle said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:9-10. He said, I'm the least of all the apostles, and I'm not meet to be an apostle. I persecuted the church. But what I am by the grace of God. Amen. In fact, God would use people we wouldn't. God would use people we wouldn't. Do you know there were people that wanted nothing to do with Paul the Apostle? Nothing to do with him. He came to the disciples. They wanted nothing to do with him. Thank God for Barnabas. Thank God for the son of consolation. Thank God for the exhorter and the encourager, the one who says, hold on a minute, he's a brother in Christ, and he gets him in there, and all of a sudden he becomes the man. Amen? Thank God for Barnabas. Barnabas takes a guy that nobody wants and brings him in. And then later on, and as we find out, Barnabas takes a young man named John Mark that Paul didn't want. And he puts his arms around him and he gets him back going again. Amen? Thank God for Barnabas. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 2, Paul the Apostle told Timothy, listen, we are called to ministry according to the grace and the purpose of God. Amen? See, there's a grace that saves us. Thank God for that forgiveness. But then there's a grace that helps us in our daily living for him. And then there's a grace that helps us to serve him. We could not serve the Lord without the help of God, without the grace of God. Amen? We couldn't do it. I'm so glad that he uses us. Amen? I'm so glad that he uses us. You know, along with that serving grace, I do have to say that oftentimes that leads to the need of another grace, and that's called suffering grace. Suffering grace. In fact, I want you to turn for a moment, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You see, do you understand now there's more grace than saving grace? Amen? Can I get a witness on that one, somebody? There's more grace than saving grace. I don't want to just get into saving grace and be forgiven and that's it. I want to get daily grace from God, daily help from God to live for him. And then maybe even more grace on top of that, grace that I can serve him. Amen. And then if I'm getting grace to live for him and I'm getting grace to serve him, I could imagine what serving him is not going to be easy. If it was, everybody would do it. Can I get a witness on that one? Serving the Lord is not the easiest thing to do, especially when you're really doing it with the right motive and for the right reasons. Amen? We need his grace. Paul the Apostle is a great example of a man who was serving the Lord by the grace of God. And God was using him in a mighty way. And I'll be honest with you, I think those that get used in a great way usually suffer the greatest trials and troubles and tribulations. I think the devil knows, amen? Look at 2 Corinthians 12, look at verse number 9. Is it 9 or 7? Look at verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Paul said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. In other words, Paul said this, he said, God has revealed so much truth to me. Most of the New Testament was written by Paul the Apostle. He said, God has revealed so much to me and has used me so much, lest I should be exalted. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Paul, he called this thorn in the flesh, this physical ailment, whatever it was. He called it the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Lest he should be exalted above measure. There's speculation as to what Paul's ailment could be, and many believe it had to do with his eyesight. You read the book of Galatians, he talked about them willing to give him their eyes at that time and so on. Whatever it was, Paul the Apostle was used by God in such a mighty way. You and I have the philosophy, man, if you're in that tight with the Lord, it shouldn't be that hard for you. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, Paul the Apostle was used in such a mighty way, God had to allow a situation in his life to stay there to keep him humble, to keep him down on the ground. Amen? And here's what Paul said in verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. I don't understand the thought of thrice in this respect. We know he prayed three times. There's something about three-time praying. Jesus prayed in the garden, what? Three times. There's something about it. Something about it. He said, I besought the Lord for this thing thrice. And verse number 8, that it might depart from me. And you can understand that. I'm just praying to get rid of this. I'm serving the Lord. I'm trying to do his will. And God's using me in a mighty way. And I got this situation. In fact, I would have told the Lord that situation's hindering me. And he tried to get rid of it. And look at verse number 9. And he said unto me, here's what Paul said. God said to him, my grace. That's not saving grace, right? It's on top of saving grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength. See that? He equates this grace with his strength. There is a grace, a strength that God has for his suffering servants. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said this, therefore, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's not only a saving grace of God that forgives us. There's a grace that changes us and helps us on a daily basis. And there's a grace that uses us. And when he's using us, most of the time we're going to go through some kind of suffering. And as we go through that suffering, there's a grace that can help us through that. That grace may not change the situation, but it can help make the situation better. Just came up with an idea in my mind. Forgive me if it's not the greatest. If I broke my ankle and I tried to walk, I could do that. It's going to hurt, right? I have to hop on the one maybe, however long it is. Somebody gives me a pair of crutches. What's going to happen? I could do it. I could actually move with the crutches. I can move with the crutches. Didn't change my situation, did it? Ankle may be still broken, but I don't have to put no pressure on it. I could still get by. There may be situations that ain't going to change. But God can give us the support, the strength, the help, whatever it is, to hold us up so we can keep on going on. Amen? In fact, some of you recall the footprints in the sand. Lord, I noticed we were walking together, but all of a sudden I noticed you're gone. Lord said, oh, you got that wrong. Those prints are mine. He was carrying us. Amen. There's a grace. Oh, there's a grace. Amen. You and I need to grow in grace. We need to go from saving grace and we need a lot more grace. Amen. If we're going to get it, we're going to get it from him. Let me give you a second point. I'm not going to preach this because time is fleeting. Moments are passing. Let me give you a second point. Turn with me. I'm just going to touch on these. I'll give them to you for your thoughts. 1 Peter chapter number 2. You've seen the mandate to grow, right? In 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. That's a mandate, grow in grace. Whenever God tells us to do something, he has to make sure we have what we need to do it. Amen? If he's going to tell you and I that are saved to grow, then he's got to give us what we need to grow. Amen? And so the point number 2 would be this. Not only do we see the mandate concerning spiritual growth, but we see the means concerning spiritual growth. What is the means? What is the means for spiritual growth? What is it that's going to help us to grow? 1 Peter 2, look at verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may, what? Grow thereby.
You see, the mandate we have to grow is there. And he gave us the means right here. This is a spiritual bottle. Amen. As newborn babes, drink the milk of the word. Amen. In fact, drink the milk of the word so much so that you start to grow and you start to say, the milk's not enough. I want something bigger, stronger. Amen. Then you start to get into the meat of the word. I have other things to say, but I'm not going to do it. Let me give you the last thought. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Usually I get an amen when I say, let me give you the last thought. But people don't want to reveal that they're happy. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I told you I'm only going to touch on the last 2 points because I spent my time on the first point. But Ephesians chapter number 4, I want you to see something here. And we're going to close with this text right here. We have, number one, we have the mandate to grow, 2 Peter 3:18. We have the means to grow, and that's 1 Peter 2:2, and that's the milk of the word of God. You're not going to grow without the word, amen? And then finally, Ephesians chapter number 4 is what I call the measure concerning spiritual growth. What is the measure concerning spiritual growth? Here's the question. What is the measure? How do you know you're growing spiritually? That's a good question. That's a fair question, right? Some people get the measurements wrong. Some people say, well, you know, that person's really growing because they're coming to church. That may not be an indication of growth. Well, that person's really growing because of this, that, and the other thing. Listen, I know people that have went to church for 25 years and never been saved that whole time. You could say that with spiritual growth, but you can't grow if you're not even saved. Here's what I'm saying to you. Real spiritual growth is measured by this. Ready? Ephesians 4. Look at verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. It's a reference to Jesus giving gifts to the church for the perfecting or the maturing or the growing of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Look at the next statement. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is he saying here? He's saying this. God gave church leadership for the maturity and the growth of the church that we all might become like Christ. So the measure of spiritual growth, here it is, ready? Christ-likeness. You and I know we're growing when we're becoming more like Jesus Christ. Amen? And that is the goal. In fact, you and I, according to Romans 8:29, are predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Amen? In fact, Paul the Apostle in Galatians 4:19 said he was working with the Galatians until Christ was formed in them. Amen? This is spiritual growth. Let me read a statement and I close. And I'm going to ask Brother Jason and Brother Ralph, if you'd be so kind. We're going to close with more about Jesus in a moment. But let me make a statement for you. And that is this. God's house is where God's Spirit uses God's man, God's word, and God's people to help us to become more like God's Son. Spiritual growth involves God's house, God's word, God's people. Amen. We help each other to grow. Amen. As our brothers come, we're going to sing this hymn, and then I'll come back at the end of the hymn and just close in a word of prayer. Amen. this morning, if you're here this morning and you have never experienced the saving grace of God, if you have any questions about being saved, please come and see me after the service. I'd be glad, if you're a man, I'd be glad to share with you. If you're a woman, we have some women here that would be glad to share with you so that you could better understand and better know about the saving grace of God. Amen. And it is my prayer for all of us that are saved by the grace of God to not stay there, but to get more grace so we can be more what the Lord wants us to be. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the gathering today. Father, thank you for everybody who could make it out today. And please be with those who were not able to. We do pray as we dismiss from this place today. Lord, if there's anybody that doesn't know for sure they're saved, may they understand that their salvation is our concern. And we would love to do nothing but to share with them from the Bible how they too can be saved. And Father, those of us that are saved, oh, that we might get more and more grace. As the song said, that we just more and more about Jesus, more salvation. We've seen victories in our life, but oh, we need to see more. I pray for your help. Father, as we leave this building, Lord, and we're headed out there, Lord, it's a very hot day, and it's going to be a hot day. We pray for your watch care over everyone. Help everyone to get to their destination safely. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Have a great week. Amen.